Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Candyman, a podcast that will not make you say farewell to the flesh, because this podcast is not about Candyman, Farewell to the Flesh, the movie sequel. In fact, it's about Sweet Tooth, so it's going to make you say hello to the flesh. Hi, everybody. What? I'm Alex. Hello, flesh.
Another perfectly clear introduction to our podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the fourth episode of Sweet Tooth Season 1, Secret Sauce. And later on in the episode, we're going to be also very confusingly reviewing some candy. We'll get to that in a moment. But requisite, I mean, we're a little, let's be fair, we were a little all over the place with the candy this week.
The world we dipped our toe into this week is... it's confusing. I mean, yes. I'm at the grocery store. I got sour Sketty coming at me. I got gummy worms. It's a mixed bag. Everyone, I mean,
we're ruining the surprise here. I bought almost a literal mixed bag.
Yeah, a mixed cup.
Yes. But we'll get to that later on in the episode when we review the candy. For the moment, though, talking about Sweet Tooth, the show that you're probably actually here to hear about. First of all, watch the episode. We're going to get into spoilers pretty much immediately, talk about some of our favorite things in the episode. But the broad overview here is we're starting to check in with all of our individual stories. We check in on Amy. We've jumped forward many, many years. And her now daughter, Pigtail, is, about Gus's age, I would say, like 10 or 11, something like that. It's not specified. They're still living in the zoo. They're trying to avoid the Last Men, which is Abbott's army that is traveling around looking for hybrids. We find out a lot more about them this episode. And by the end of the episode, we meet a new character, Bobby, who shows up, and Amy makes the big decision to change the zoo into a haven for hybrids. So we can start to see how this stuff is going to start coming together. Meanwhile, with Sig, things go terribly wrong.
Oh, man.
Ronnie
this
is
that,
getting
that's
sicker.
That's why you keep a horse around.
Always. So yeah. Sing is very concerned about Ronnie. She is not getting better. She seems to really be encouraging him to use stem cells from hybrid children. It needs to be alive hybrid children, as we suspected, that need to be harvested in order to make the secret sauce that is going to make her better. Meanwhile, Nancy, aka the woman from Total Recall, finds
Stop.
Out exactly what's going on.
That
with
is not.
Ronnie.
Why would you keep that bit going?
finds awful. Out exactly. It is pretty awful. I'm a terrible person. She finds out about Ronnie. She suspected it, as we suspected, or I think Pete, you were pointing it out in particular last episode. She goes straight for them, and then surprise, gets kicked by a horse and maybe dies.
Yeah.
So
now she's more the lady from Wanted who work in the stapler. That's a little bit more
the stapler.
Yeah, she's the lady who runs the office where the guy from Wanted works.
And I'll tell you what. Nobody remembers anything from Wanted. I'm very surprised. Curve Bullets, Angelina Jolie. That's all I got.
Not a big rewatcher of Wanted, right?
Yeah. But we are going to be talking about the Loom of Fate. Everybody's favorite plot point and Wanted later on in the episode. I guess I do remember more than I thought.
Yeah.
Moving over to Gus.
I have the candy I have is the sour Loom of Fate. Is that nice. What we're supposed to be eating?
Yeah. And looking crazy specific with what they're making sour.
Yeah.
Anything could be sour if you put sour salt on it. I think that's the main takeaway from this episode.
Sour moving on salt.
That's what it's called.
But you're in too deep. You're like, you're secretly Wonka'd up. You're a Willy Wonka.
Tell you what, I am doing this podcast for the candy. The Sweet Tooth episodes are just like second tier for me.
Exactly. This has been a long con of starting a podcast empire to get to this candy review section of this podcast about a fantastic television show that we love.
It's amazing.
I'm worried about it because I'm becoming way too addicted to candy and I need this like rush to get through my day.
Okay, I want to... I was going to leave this for later. Before we talk about Gus and Jeopard's plotline, and that'll be a good place to start regardless because that's the bulk of the episode, can we talk about what happened this week, Pete?
Sure.
Okay, so we were texting about this episode, trying to figure out what candy we were going to review, and we were doing it right before we were supposed to tape.
Real dicks about it.
Supposed to tape another podcast with some special guests coming on that we were going to interview, and that was happening at 7:30. We were texting at like 6:30 or something like that, and we're like, okay, fine, this is what we're going to do. We actually decided, then we changed our minds, but we decided we were going to do
it. You changed your minds a bunch.
We changed our minds a bunch, but what happened was Pete got so excited about getting candy for a podcast, mind you, that we were not going to tape it for 2 days.
Several days.
Missed the podcast that we were doing in an hour.
He jumped up from the text and ran to the store to buy candy like some sort of 19th century child when the father's ship comes in to the harbor. And what'd you walk out of there with, Pete?
Well, I don't want to spoil, but it's my favorite candy. And I got very excited about finally being able to talk about it. And so I ran out to
your mouth is watering. Right now. I can't even talk.
It's rough,
man. I wish we were putting up videos for these because drool is just pouring. Yeah,
you should have seen me. I was like a rabid animal in CBS, just like running up and down the aisles trying to find the biggest bag of, you know.
You're in like the perfume section just being like, where's the candy? The band-aids were band-aids. Where's the candy?
I could not believe that. I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt. I thought maybe there was a medical emergency. That's why you went to the pharmacy. But nope, you got excited about candy. That was it.
Yeah, and then completely blew off accidentally this interview that I was really looking forward to. And since you guys got to talk to those guys before, and it was going to be my first time, it was like I was stuck in Artist Alley all over again, and you guys were up in the skybox.
Well, hey, Pete, at least you bought some candy that you literally can buy anywhere at any time.
Yeah, exactly. Pete, you've proven with this that you are our sweet tooth. You are the person we will go to with any specific Dear Hybrid-based questions.
We'll see what happens. There's still a couple of episodes to go. I don't want to call it too early that Pete will win the Syrup Cup, which is what we're giving away as a trophy the end of the season.
But now that I'm thinking about it. The sweetest tooth.
You remember that time I had to call out sick because I ate too many cookies? I do have a problem.
You do have a problem.
Yeah.
You called out sick from work.
Yeah.
At our show.
That's not. Yeah. Both. I mean, both. He's messing with his money, dude. This candy addiction's fucking with the bag.
Got the sweats right now, just craving opening up this bag and ripping into some candy.
Well, we still have a whole episode to talk about very briefly on Gus and Jeopard, so we can make time to talk about the candy, I guess. They have been captured by the Animal Army, who are these kids that we met in the previous episode and were teased in the episode before. There's a big civil war going on there between Bear and Tiger. By the end of the episode, Gus and Jeopard have gone free. Bear comes after them, but is a little too late to catch up. And Gus and Jeopard have really affirmed their friendship, their bond together in this episode, which is very nice. So that all said, let's start with Gus and Jeopard. Let's start with the bulk of the episode. We've been going small storylines to big, so let's go big storylines to the smaller, quicker ones this time, particularly because there's some stuff I'm very excited to talk about with Sing and Amy. But the Gus and Jeopard storyline was so good in this episode, and I've been very touched by the previous episodes of the show, but the two times they hugged in this hour, I felt a twang in my heart.
Aww. A twang? You should just have
a twinge, a twang, you know?
Wow.
Did you guys, there's something about that, the look that Jeopard has on his face in particular.
Well, I said this in an earlier episode, the gentleman who plays Jeopard, the casting is perfect. He's the big man. He's such a tough exterior, always doing what he needs to do to get the job done. But his eyes are so expressive, and you see the same doe-eyed soul underneath there. Deer, yep, good. He and Gus are bonded in that way. They are innocent at the soft nougat core, as I talked about. And you see it in this episode because the tables are turned. Gus has to save Jeopard, and you see him realize that he is cared for by Gus, And I think he didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of started off with this kind of like, good luck, you know, like this kid's been following me all over the place. I've been trying to get rid of him for a while. And then when you kind of get to that last hug, you know, that these two are kind of bonded. And, you know, when the VO guy comes on and starts talking about family. So
James Brolin.
Yeah. And it's just, it's very moving. You know, at first, Gus is like, no, don't, you know, don't kill him, you know, and kind of like saves the day or just kind of puts a timeout on it. And then as Gus is kind of hanging out with his new friends, eating candy and learning about computers, the whole time I'm like, where the fuck is Jeopard? Like, why is nobody worried about him?
And Pete, I would have thought of all people, you watching Gus there was like, great, show's over. He's eating candy. He's playing video games. He's doing bumper cars, watching cartoons.
Dream.
Ideal life.
Ideal life, yeah, but you know, you got to remember who got you there. You know what I mean? You can't just like forget about your friend.
Well, and I do think though Gus does care for Jeopard, but Jeopard thinks that Gus was just taking advantage of him. That like he was just using him because he was weak in the world, and Jeopard is there. It was the strong force, and I think we, knowing the character, you know, he is a good person underneath there. And it wasn't until this episode it took for Jeopard to realize that, oh, he does care for me. He's not just trying to use me for my size and strength. We have a bond, and now it's really cemented in this episode.
Well, and I think he doubles down on that in his speech to Bear. It's not really a speech, just sort of the dialogue with Bear when he's been captured, and he talks about, listen, you don't know what it was like. You had to choose a side. You were probably 5 years old at that point when that happened. You don't understand. And he's had a decade plus of not trusting anybody, of being in Abbott's army, which seems like a terrible place to be, where you have to do absolutely awful things. This also ties into, and you mentioned this in the last episode, I believe, Justin, Singh's storyline, where he is being morally challenged, I think, in a very similar way to how Jeopard was 10 years earlier. Jeopard chose the wrong decision. Now it looks like Singh is also choosing the wrong decisions. But Jeopard came back from that, which gives hope that potentially Singh can as well.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about what Jeopard was saying. He was like, hey, listen, I made a wrong choice early. I'm not that guy. People can change. You know, like, I thought it was great. Like, you guys have done horrible things in your puppet army. And like, you know, what the fuck? And I thought that, like, it was a really good point, and that kind of point caused the kind of civil war where it was like, you know, I don't know why they straight up had to kill Jeopard. That seemed a little kind of ridiculous for a bunch of wannabe animals in a water park, but whatever, you know. So like what I was really hoping for was when we saw Bear kind of like go after them, to join them. I was like, oh, that would have been sweet. The three of them could have been a nice little team. I was hoping she would like pull out the envelope and then drop it on the ground and walk away, because there was research done on Birdie. Like, somebody found some answers, and like, it sucks that I don't know if we'll ever know.
They're going to catch up. That is a dangling plot line that they're not going to not follow up on. And I do think we are going to see Bear, now that she is very much on the outs with the animal army, meet up with Gus and Jeopard, even if she didn't quite do it this episode, would be my guess.
Yeah, I agree. And it is interesting, like, they're so down on Jeopard for being like, you did awful things, but they're running around killing people pretty indiscriminately themselves. So like, I do think maybe Bear can sort of get out of that dichotomy and think for herself going forward.
But it was kind of heartbreaking for Bear. I mean, she started this kind of puppet army here and got everybody like their own little kind of outfits and put everybody together. And then they all just turn on her because people want to see a tiger maul somebody to death, you know?
Let me ask you, what would your animal totem be if you were joining the animal army?
That's tough. I mean,
bear, tiger, obviously taken.
Yeah, I would either go with puma or turtle, depending on the day.
Very similar animals.
Yeah.
I always mix them up at the zoo. Is a puma in its shell today? Oh, that's turtle. My bad.
How about you there, JT says?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Pumas. I mean, if I wanted to be like, oh, I would go, I don't know, like dinosaur or something. But I think at the end of the day, I'd probably end up with chipmunk.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Very tiny skull over my nose, the bridge of my nose.
Big cheeks. That makes sense.
I always liked frogs. I feel like I'd go for like a poison dart frog, something a little, you know, small but colorful.
Aw.
Not hourly deadly. Pretty, very pretty choice, Alex. Yeah.
Thank you. I used to collect little figurines of poison dart frogs when I was a kid. I go to the zoo, and every time I go to the zoo, I'd buy a new one.
And there were a bunch of different shapes and sizes?
Not different sizes, just different colors and designs and things.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a whole line of them. I would play games with them by myself.
What games did you play?
I don't know. Scenarios, just, perhaps.
Let me just catch up here. And you didn't have human friends. These were your... And wait, did you grow up in a post-apocalyptic world?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, my parents died in the sick.
Yeah. So you only had frogs as friends. That's the only reason I could explain how a normal boy growing up in a functioning society wouldn't have other people to play with.
No, just frogs. Plastic frogs. I will say on that note, I really liked how they played out the animal army as this very Lost Boys style society here in this state of arrested development. You know, you were touching on this just before, Pete, but I think part of the reason they do this thing with Jepper that they do at the end is, yes, they are some of them, at least half of them are playing a game. They're still playing this video game. They're looking at the world as a video game. They're in a state of arrested development where the world fell. They've had no parents. They eat candy all day until their teeth fall out.
Yeah. Did you see that one kid's teeth?
That's going to be us by the end of this podcast, 100%. But they're doing whatever they want. And Bear started this, but Bear, thanks to Gus, like we just said, is growing out of it, is understanding, no, there is a more adult way of doing this. An adult isn't necessarily bad. It's just some adults are bad.
Well, and I also think there's a moment here where Jeppard is doing the same thing to Gus as his father did. Like, he didn't tell him about the fact that he was the last man, that this large, he was trying to protect him or keep his secret. And you see Gus look at him like, what's this? Why didn't you tell me this? But Gus, they push through it and maintain their thing. So I think, to your point, Alex, he gets close to being like, he is a bad person. Like, actually, I know him more than what these people are saying about him. He's a good person in there. And give it up for Gus for being able to make that call.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice. And it was interesting to see Gus's control over the wild tiger as well. I didn't know that Gus had kind of like animal powers, or at least able to kind of communicate.
Well, that's
like
what we're getting. We're getting a little bit of it every episode with the ghost stag, with the dream of snow the last episode. This episode, he's able to talk to tigers. That's something I was certainly wondering about this episode as we meet Pigtail, who is another hybrid kid who can talk English and communicate and acts like a normal kid, except for her pig nose and pig ears. My question meeting her is, what makes Gus special? Why are we following him then if there are other kids who can be like this? And I think the answer is that there's something more going on with Gus, just beyond him being a precocious animal child who can talk.
Right, but also it's this thing of like, they're like, oh, Gus is the only one who can talk. Now we meet two other hybrids who can definitely talk.
Yeah, we'll get to Bobby in a second. We'll get to Bobby towards the end of the episode. But I just wanted to talk about Gus a little bit more because, man, he's so good in this episode. I know we've sung this actor's praises every episode, but I think this was here all along, and I think it's more the costuming and the hair than anything. But there was such a 80s movie vibe coming from him this episode, just like a kid out of a Steven Spielberg movie, or more recently and more Netflixy Stranger Things, just the way that he was acting and reacting to things. Just so fun and so enjoyable to watch him. Like, the smile on when he's riding the bumper cars made me smile. You can feel that coming through the screen. It's so strong.
I was happy that they didn't all gang up on him, because bumper cars can go from fun to like not fun real quick. If somebody catches you and they like hit you that wrong angle. Oh man, bumper cars can be rough, dude.
This is old man bumper car talk though, Pete. When you're a child, your body is basically jello. Like, you can get bounced around.
That's a big
point. Now, I would honestly stay off the bumper cars.
What did you think about the WB product integration? We got to see some Warner Brothers cartoons in this Warner Brothers production.
Oh, yeah, it was great to see some Looney Tunes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's timeless, you know?
Yeah. Got to feed Papa Bugs, right? Bugs Bunny. Yeah. Not like...
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Forgive us for not knowing exactly what you meant when you said, gotta feed Papa Bugs.
Yeah.
I was like... You feed your father bugs?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Is this another...
Just sour bugs. That's all. Sour worms. That's
Are you talking about the poison dart frog that you worship as your papa?
I call it my
feed
poobah.
Papa.
My poobah frog.
Yeah.
So this storyline was great. So well filmed. Why don't we jump over and talk about Sig? Because some very dark things go on here. What'd you think about this whole storyline, Nancy... I could not believe the getting kicked by the horse thing. That was so surprising.
Here's the thing. Stay away from the horse's ass. Yeah. There's nothing good. Go nothing good's going to happen back there. There's nothing. No reason to be anywhere near that. Any horse butt. Because you're going to... It not doesn't smell good. Any of those hooves, they're coming for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It happened so quickly, I laughed. Because I was just, like, so surprised by it. But yeah, the nanner was coming for him, and she did kind of the stalking. She kind of like stalked them a little bit when
she's
he came
a goss.
Outside.
Yeah, she's a goss. And that in the post-apocalyptic world, that gets you horsed.
Well, also you saw the
gets you horse
kicked to death.
By the way, has that pitch gotten picked up yet? I know you've been pitching that around town.
About getting horsed.
Get horse.
Get horse.
Your prank show.
It's you know what it's expensive is getting the horse in the right place and justifying like sure. Oh look, it's weird, there's a horse here.
Right.
And the horse is hard to take care of. You gotta feed him oats and all this. Like, the budget's really ballooning out of control. But we got Orlando Bloom pretty horsed the other day. That guy did not see it coming.
I want a Get Horse t-shirt.
Put it on the list. Oh, do you think the horse was involved here? This is like a Mr. Ed situation?
Yeah.
Or
like it's part of the team?
Part of the team. That's what I'm talking about. Because Singh has ridden the horse. We've established the horse as part of the family. You think this horse is like, yo,
I'll take
mom,
this.
Dad, I got this.
Yeah, exactly. She's getting too nosy, but it was crazy that the flowers were forming in front of the house, and you know,
yeah,
like,
what is that? Do you think we are going to get any sort of
wife has it? That's why,
absolutely. But I'm saying, just in terms of the greater mythology of the show, is this the sort of show where by the end somebody's going to say, and here's why the flowers grow where the virus is, or are we not going to get an explanation? It's just sort of a magical part of this world.
I hope that particularly, I want to hear an explanation because that seems. It's a wild thing. It's really cool. I don't know scientifically how that would work. It's not like, unless the sick has seeds in it, or it's like...
Right, maybe it's spore-based or something.
Yeah, maybe it's something
it's
like
all
that.
Pollen.
That would be really cool. It's all pollen, definitely something.
Yeah, it's just very bad allergies. I mean, I would say it's... You know, creeping towards summer here now. I've certainly been getting allergies, and I've been noticing my pinkies popping.
Don't do that. Don't.
Exactly.
We could go a whole episode without that. Stop!
I can't. I honestly wish I could get my pinky to stop popping, but I can't do it. I don't know what's up with me. I feel crazy. So, Alex, do you think in that way, if the sick is just an extreme allergy, do you think the hybrids are full of Claritin, and that's what they're just they need to
that's a special
suck it
sauce.
Up?
Can we talk about that flare? Like, what is that about? Like, there's different colored flares. Like, is that going to the men who bring the stuff over?
Yeah, I assume that's him sending up a flare to let, whether it's Abbott's army or somebody else, know, capture me a hybrid and bring them alive here.
Oh, wow.
That was my
specific flare.
Man, that little sheriff's office is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now, we got... Yes, okay. Pete.
I was going to go off on a tangent. I was just surprised that we got this crazy...
Please, we've stayed very focused this podcast, and I appreciate if you would do the same.
We got this very villainous shot of, you know, Dr. Wario or whatever his face is. And I thought, you know, after
you mean
that.
Sing?
No, not Sing. The bearded villain guy.
Abbott.
Yeah, Abbott's ice cream. But like, what the fuck? Like, how do you do that and then not follow that up at all with him at all? Like, I was just really surprised. Like, okay, this episode's got to be about the supervillain a little bit more in this because we got that huge teaser and then just completely walked away from it. I'm very surprised. It's like kind of a timeline that you would do that.
So this is something that I wanted to mention a little bit earlier that I think touches on this a little bit. But one thing that I've really enjoyed about the show, and this is a very basic thing with TV shows, but something that I think is avoided quite a bit with Netflix shows in particular, because they're going for, it's more of an 8-hour movie. This show is episodic.
Whose voice was that? What was
Reed Hastings, the head of Netflix. He talks like this. Hope you guys enjoy the new season of Stranger Things. Squawk! I'm a bird boy.
Wow. Our podcast just got canceled. Yeah, for a fourth season, ironically.
Very sad. This show is episodic and it's thematic, and I think that is to its benefit. So what I mean by that is, in a regular Netflix show, you'd introduce Abbott, and then the next hour, Abbott would do something, and then that plot would just sort of continue. It would be like watching the next hour of a movie. Here, we've met this animal army, and instead we really dig into what that means thematically, how it parallels with what's going on with Amy and Sid. And that's great. That makes this a better TV show because they're really focusing on making a strong 40 minutes, 40-ish minutes of television versus what is the fourth hour of this story. It works on both of those levels, but I like this show better because it sticks to the television format.
So you're cool with doing like a dramatic, creepy beard shot and then not addressing it at all?
What I like about that is so many other shows are very like progressive. The narrative really moves, and it's like, oh, you can almost predict it. And if it's an 8-episode series, it's like, oh, in this 5th episode, there's a big change. In the 7th episode, you get the final setup for the thing. So at most shows, you can sort of see the shape of it. This show is shaped a little bit differently, I think, in a great way, where they're putting pieces on the board, and I think they're all going to sort of collide at the end, as opposed to slowly build in this progression that we're pretty familiar with. So I give them credit for treating us as like smart viewers and able to sort of hold these ideas in our heads and to see a beard guy, a dramatic beard guy, and remember how dramatic his beard is for next time.
Huh. Wow. Well, I mean, I take the opinion of a line producer who's worked a lot in television. You know
again,
what I mean?
Not for the final time. I'm not a line producer.
It's not going to be final.
Let's talk about Amy's storyline, which I thought was great. First of all, I love Pigtail. Great character. I was a little confused by the fact that Amy clearly has an accent and she doesn't, and they've only been talking to each other. Very bad. Not good line producing, I think. Wow. Right?
Yep, that's definitely it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I am a line producer. I just don't know the answer.
Yes. Pigtail should have talked with her accent. But other than that...
Wait, and Alex, your son has a crystal clear British accent, though, so I feel like you can't be surprised by that.
Yeah. Wonder where he's been raised. I will say, this is very far afield, but one of my son's cousins watched a lot of Peppa Pig and adopted a Peppa Pig accent at about 2 or 3 years old and would come in when we'd, you know, come over for a barbecue and he'd be like, can I have a hamburger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Even though he grew up on Long Island.
Get out. Long Island, anything. I mean, you don't want
anything
that
goes.
Accent.
No rules, just right. That's what I say about Long Island. I thought Amy's storyline was great, other than the accent. I don't want to harp on that too much because I really liked what's going on there. I really liked the movement. Love the information that we found out about the last man and how that tied into what was going on with the animal army. Should we talk about Bobby?
Yeah,
should we talk about the
Otter Christmas Jug special character there.
Emmett Otter Jugman Christmas. That's exactly what I thought too.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, I want to watch this movie after this.
Pete and I were talking about reaction videos yesterday, I think, and how I don't quite get them. And I think part of the reason is that mostly I watch a TV show and I don't react that much. You know, I react internally. I'm thinking about it. I'm watching it, just very stoic. So why would I ever, I wouldn't do a reaction video of myself because that would be boring versus Pete, who loses his shit all the time about everything. If I, when Bobby came on screen,
you were like, oh,
100% audible reaction. I was like, oh, Bobby.
Yeah. Now, was that just because
that's so funny?
Bobby looks like a Muppet, or were you?
I think there's a couple of reasons. First of all, it's this design, just in terms of the show, that straddles between being the Baby Yoda of the show and being that alien from Back and Me. Like, it's right in the middle zone there, I think. But also, it looks like the way Jeff Lemire draws that character. That's the thing, is that, like, it's different than the other animal kids in terms of the way that they're executing it, because it does seem like maybe there is some sort of animatronics thing potentially going on there with some CGI augmentation.
I think it was just a baby actor.
Oh, just the baby actor. I don't think it's that, but I do think there's a couple of different things going on there in terms of the movement. But it really does look like a Jeff Lemire drawing come to life. And that's, I think, the main thing that drew that reaction out of me.
Because at first I thought Pigtail just didn't know how trees worked and she was feeding trees like the food. But then when you got Bobby's intro, it's like, oh, that's also where the carrots went and everything. So that made a little bit more sense.
Justin, what did you think about Bobby?
I love Bobby. Like, great to see, what a gentleman, just like really dressed up at the end of the episode. It is funny. When in the comic, when they introduced Bobby, I was like, yeah, makes sense. Just another iteration of a hybrid. And this, I was like, that's an otter that talks. That's an otter. Like, I feel like physicalizing it definitely poses more questions about what's up. I don't think that will be a difference in the show, but I liked the pushing the boundaries a little bit.
I did. It did feel a little bit like, I really liked how all the hybrids and stuff looked, and then the humans dressing as Muppets, and I was fine with that. But then when we got Bobby a little bit, I was like, ooh, I don't know. I'm a little worried about how this looks and how this is going to move forward a little bit in the show, especially if Bobby becomes a thing that we're seeing all the time. I'm just worried it might pull some people out of the story a little bit.
Does it pull you out? Don't worry about other people.
Well, it's just, you know, it was like, I don't know. It just seemed not like the same kind of caliber as everything else. It seemed a little bit like, and I've never tried to film something and have a mop come to life. So it's, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm shitting.
Say a mop?
Yeah, I mean, what would you say Bobby is, like a mini Chewbacca type of thing? Like, I don't know.
I would say mini Chewbacca.
I'd say some sort of a mop probably would be my main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either a living mop or a mini Chewbacca. I will accept no other answers in the continuity of this television show.
Let us know. Write us at sweettoothpodcast.com and let us know whether you think this is more of a Sorcerer's Apprentice type situation or a Star Wars situation.
An upside down Sorcerer's Apprentice or some sort of Star Wars babies where we got mini, everybody gets miniaturized for this.
I tell you though, I am worried about the zoo, especially if she's on there broadcasting that, you know, this is a safe place. I know it's in the future, but I'm still a little worried about, like, you know, because there's obviously guards still going around.
That was a weird choice. In the span of the show, I like the idea of them setting up the preserve, and I think that's going to be exciting to see. The fact that so many people are openly using these channels and then she's just broadcasting it out there, like you say, seems like a bad choice. I think we're not going to immediately see the ramifications of that, but there's no doubt in my mind that down the road that she's going to run into Abbott at some point.
Also, she better not fucking use those fireworks, because if little sheriff's office is using flares, you know, the bad men for sure are going
to
come.
I think that's an interesting detail that I do wonder. I'll just throw out a wild theory to you. Abbott attacks. They don't have weapons, but they fire fireworks to try to scare them off. Maybe they come back later.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mini Chewbaccas are also called Ewoks, too.
No, those are separate things, man.
I don't know. I've seen that movie a couple of times, and I think they're all Chewbacca's children.
Nope.
right?
No, no, don't.
He comes in and he says,
"You guys are upsetting my children. No.
Gathered to me,
really different planets.
He says,
different
my
species.
Son, Wicket. You know, because he speaks just that one line. No, the only line Chewbacca has in the whole movie, the whole
just
series of movies.
Speak one line one
he does.
Time.
He says, Wicket, please, but my son, Wicket, please. What
He's
are we
not
having
Silent
for
Bob. It's
and,
not
and
that
Wicket
Chewbacca.
Says, and Wicket says, gotta feed Papa Bugs.
Oh my God. Gotta feed Papa Bugs.
Oh my God.
Before we move on to the candy review portion of the podcast, is there anything else you want to call out about this episode?
I was really hoping that when Gus was king for a day, he would make some changes, but, you know, it just seemed like an honorary thing, so I was a little disappointed in that. You know.
Yeah, it's like Bear is prime minister, he's king, it's just a ceremonial position.
Yeah.
The monarchy is slowly falling apart due to a variety of scandals.
I look forward to this Crown series based on the Animal Army that will no doubt be coming out soon in this world.
Overall, real good episode. Really enjoyed this one. Why don't we move on to our candy review thematically with this episode, with Gus eating the sour gummy worms. We tried very hard to get sour gummy worms. That's what we That's aimed right. for. It didn't quite work out, I think, in three cases. All cases.
Okay. The thing was, it was the timing, because we had another candy all queued up, and then we had to last minute be like, oh my God, the show has sour gummy worms. We should get that. And then kind of scrambled, and unfortunately, with the little store by my house, it doesn't have that.
So should we go around the horn and say what we got before we actually try it? Pete, do you want to go first? Actually, you don't go first. Justin, you go first.
I got the classic candy that we all craved as a child. I was like, oh, what's my favorite thing to eat? Sourized? And that's sour Sketty. I love some sour Sketty, which is short for spaghetti, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, you'll try it in a second. I like sour spaghetti. It's a little too thin, but, you know, like you got there, you can eat a chunk of
it. Is
it
just like the
sour
tape just cut up? Like, or is it really kind of like pieces of spaghetti looking?
Yeah, no, these were made by
an
Italian candy maker who has a very goofy pasta maker that keeps spitting out this sour candy. Oh, no, we got the sour spaghetti again. What are we going to do?
So I didn't go to the gas station this time because clearly that has not panned out very well.
No, instead, the artisan gas station.
Bodega on the corner, which also didn't turn out very well. Or actually, I mean, visually it turned out well because I got this cup from Candylicious. They had a bunch
it's
of cups.
It's half
of
full. It's not really about.
It's half
I'm glad
full.
It's
vacuum packed. But it's got neon gummy worms, which is what I think he had on the show. And then there's also weirdly some mini gummy bears at the bottom there for no particular reason. So visually it feels right. I'm definitely going to get poisoned and die.
Yeah, Alex, if one of my kids brought that home on Halloween, I'd be like, you put that right in the garbage. That's a plastic cup with Saran wrap on top.
That looks really sketchy. I would not eat that.
Well, see what happens. Maybe this is my last podcast. Pete, what did you get that's
I got the old gold bears, which I'm a big fan of these golden gummy bears, but then sour style. So.
Well, I always say bears are the worms of the forest.
That's what? Right. Same thing. For a man famous for knowing his animals, keeping his animals straight.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we try this here? I don't even know.
Now, the Sketty is the same, basically a gummy worm, just with a slightly different name. Oh, it's skinnier. Interesting.
Oh my God. This is impossible to open.
Come on, man. Punch it.
No, I'm
it's
weak.
Childproof.
I need more candy to make me strong. All right. Oh, this smells so good. Here's the thing. Sour candy is much more my thing than chocolate or sweet candy or anything like that. Like, I will just sit down and eat an entire thing of Sour Patch Kids. I love those. So opening this up and getting the smell of the sour worms in there. So good. That is turning me into Pete right now is basically what's happening.
Alex, you are treating this like it's some sort of tasting menu on a cooking show.
You know, sometimes we grab audio, and I really want someone to grab audio of the Alex going, no, I am weak.
If these are going to kill me, this is how I want to die, honestly.
Yeah.
I love this. This is like sour. It's sweet. It's gummy. Biting into it, the inside is orange, the outside green and
Do you feel good about they only gave you half a cup that you...
This is enough, because again, I will eat as much as is here,
So it seems like a waste of plastic. Like they should have made smaller cups or something.
Alex, I'm going
to
probably
throw out the mini gummy bears, to be honest with you.
I'm going to be throwing away the rest of this bag of sour sketty in about 45 minutes if you want to rifle through my trash.
Yeah, no problem. What do you think of the sour sketty? What's your take on it, Justin?
I mean, actually, as not a big candy guy, I do like Sour Patch Kids. I think with a sour sketty, not as sour as your Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah. No, sour candy eventually has to rip up your mouth. That's the thing, right?
Yeah. Like Sour Patch Kids. Yeah.
I'll get a sack of Sour Patch Kids, go to the movie theater, and by the end of the movie.
Sack.
Just get a sack.
Santa Claus
Where are
style,
you buying over candy? Like, you get cups of candy, sacks of candy. Going to some dude who's got a van? Like, what are you doing?
A box of popcorn and a sack of Sour Patch Kids. That'll be $250. Please enjoy your movie.
Yeah, I'm going to try one of these mini gummy bears as well.
There you go.
See, these are terrible. I hate these mini gummy bears. They're impossible to chew. It's none of the pleasure of a gummy bear.
They're in the same cup. They're friends.
No, but they're not the same. Like, they're not the pleasure of a gummy bear, which
Wait,
is...
Wait, some of them are dusted and some aren't? Is that what you're saying in the cup?
There's the neon worms, which are sour worms. Like, I got it right, guys. But the gummy bears are just mini gummy bears. And they're also hard. You know, that's the problem with mini gummy bears is there's not enough gummy bear on them to actually chew through.
What kind of weird mixed up cup did you get? You got like
it's some things regulations. Sour worms and mini gummy bears. Go ahead. What's going on with your sour gummy bears, Pete?
All right. So, you know, these are absolutely adorable looking. But I got to say, like, I love gummy bears, especially the Golden brand. But the only kind of sour thing I like are Sour Patch Kids because of it's a perfect amount of like gummy and then the kind of like sugary crack on tap, you know? So it's like, this is a little bit too much gummy and then the sour on it. So it's like not as enjoyable. I go hard on Sour Patch Kids. Other than that, I'm not a fan of the sour. I would rather have a gummy worm or a gummy bear.
But how is it now that you've actually put it in your mouth?
It's all right.
It's all right. I like these. They're probably going to kill me, but these are perfect. They got the right amount of give.
I love giving my so candy. Good.
You know, and there's different flavors too. I'm having a red and yellow flavors. One. It's like strawberry banana. Good stuff.
Banana. Blech.
I don't know.
I got to say, the sour sketty's grown on me.
Nice.
Because you know what's nice? The length of it, you get a couple different chews out of it. As opposed to Sour Patch Kids, like one, done.
Yeah.
Bag's gone. The sack's half empty.
If you'd like to support our candy habit, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Sweet Tooth. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app are your choice to subscribe and listen to the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, a farewell to the flesh.
Wow. That reminds me, I do have to go feed Papa Bugs, so I'll catch you guys later.